Heavenly Father, we will indeed crown you Lord of all, and thank you that we've had opportunity this morning to bring praise and adoration to your name. And for the sacred moment of communion, of being reminded of your great sacrifice. And now we come into a time of intercessory prayer. Thank you, Father, that you have been with the Bowman family in this past week and in the weeks previous, and that Rhoda's dad now is at rest from the cares of this world. And I thank you for the peace and comfort that you're bringing to Mark and Rhoda and their family in this time of the loss of her dad. I think, too, of those among us who are facing the ongoing challenges of illness and injury and health issues. I pray especially this morning for Sylvia, as she's having such severe pain with her jaw. Continue to guide and direct her caregivers and her physicians as they try to manage this pain for her. Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, great physician, touch her even now, Lord, and release that jaw and that nerve, and give her restoration in that whole area. And we bring you praise and thanksgiving for that. I think of Mike and Marion and Ken and Audrey and Erica, Jamie Hamilton and Jamie Curtis, as they daily face the struggles and the challenges of living with disabilities and injuries and poor health. I pray that you will meet their needs this week, Lord. But more than that, I pray that as a congregation, we'll be reminded of opportunities that we have to visit or encourage them in some way, to let them know that they're not forgotten, especially those who are shut in. And also pray for Margaret as she is dealing with another round of chemo that happened this past week, that you'll also touch her and help her to have the grace to go through this again. Father, I also pray for those who are persecuted for the sake of your gospel. I especially think of the Coptic Christians who are at risk right now with what's happening in the Middle East. I pray your hand of protection upon them. And all of those who feel that they have been forgotten in prison, I pray, Lord, that they would know that we are remembering them and praying for them. I think of Hope House and the staff and little ones there over in Ethiopia, especially the ones that have AIDS. Lord, I pray for your healing for them and for the staff, for strength. And I pray that they may all come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. Now, as we welcome back Fanozi, I thank you for him and Diane and their precious children. Thank you for the blessing they've been to our family, and I pray that we'll just catch his passion for the gospel and the passion that he has to teach and share the good news of Jesus with everyone that he meets. Open our hearts to hear and to receive the word you have for us this morning from him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So before I take a moment to introduce and welcome Fanozi up, I feel like I would be remiss and not embarrassing someone. You should always take a chance to publicly recognize. So I just want to say hello to John and Melanie Cressman. Some of you will know them. Yes, some of you are clapping. Yeah. He has been instrumental in serving here as associate pastor for years, instrumental in my life, and I just wanted to say it's good to have you here, so welcome. Fenosi Lagasse, it's been about a year since he has been here and shared God's word, and Pauline was right, he has definite passion, and if you can't catch that, you've been sleeping. So we're just so glad that he's able to be with us here this morning. He hails from the whopping metropolis of Fergus, and it's so great for you to come to our small town and bless us. Would you welcome him as he comes?
Thank you. I don't know. I don't feel passionate right now. So we'll see how it goes. How are you? I'm very happy to come again. And this is a wonderful family of church that I enjoyed last year, all my family, and we will enjoy today too. You probably have read the text that is on the bulletin. Today we will be looking at Hebrews chapter 1. We will look at the whole chapter. If you have the Bible, you can take it out and read the chapter. It's a short chapter. I will give you 2 minutes to read it. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm technologically challenged. My wife was talking to me with her eyes. I didn't know. Wow. So I was looking at people. Where is their Bible? I don't see it. So the topic is listen to him, him referring to Jesus Christ. That's how I got into when I read and studied the chapter. The main thing that I got out of that chapter is God saying to me and to us, listen to him, Jesus. Okay? How when you read the history of the book of Hebrews or read commentaries or some excellent scholars, what you find is that the book is about exalting Jesus Christ over everything, over the universe, over every person that is around, over the spiritual world that we don't see, over everything in the universe. He wanted everyone to catch the message that Jesus is greater than anything, everything that you can imagine. That is the message of the Hebrews. But yeah, I get that. But so what is what I'm trying to answer this morning from the chapter? Okay, if Jesus is the greatest person ever, the greatest God ever, if everything is under Jesus, as we sang, if everything is under the ruling power of Jesus, if Jesus holds everything together, so what? Of course, the book of Hebrews tells us that. He underlines, the writer underlines that hugely. He is greater than everything and anything. So what I say, the answer is listen to him. I can stop right now. That is it. My friends, you go read the Hebrews and you see the magnified, majestic Jesus Christ over everything, over the universe, sat at the right hand of God. That is the highest place existed. There is no place higher than that place. There is no place, no seat, no hot seat, no big seat than that seat at the right hand of God, the majestic seat. We cannot imagine. I cannot wait until I see that. This morning we were singing in the car that every knee will bow down to you, every tongue will say Jesus is Lord. I just said to my wife, I cannot wait. I cannot wait. So that is what we are talking about. So just let me go through the chapter. The writer is, when I listen from his perspective, he is a believer. He's a huge believer. He's a passionate believer. You know how he starts? He said, God is a speaker. God never been silent in history. That's how he started it. God has never been silent in history. He has been speaking to humankind, to every man and woman in history, throughout history, especially to the believers, to our forefathers. He has spoken. Yeah. You know what? He was above the circumstances saying that. The circumstances, the situation at that time, the Greco-Roman world at that time doesn't say that. They were dancing naked. They were worshiping, you know, gods that don't make sense. They were sacrificing. They were in the temples having whatever. They were noisy saying there is no God. If there is God, the gods of Greeks, the gods of Romans are gods. These are the gods, so let's dance with the community, what they were saying. Among that noise, multi-faceted noise, this writer comes out, no, there is a God who spoke to humanity throughout history. That's what I'm trying to say. He spoke to our forefathers. He has spoken. He's a speaking God. My friend, that's what I'm saying today. I'm now passionate. Yes, there are so many noises around us. All kinds of noises that we can hear. Political voices that are attractive. Come on, listen to us. Hey, you Kitchener people, you that the city people know that. A couple of years ago, you paid $500 for a ticket to listen to someone important. Do you remember that? You paid him $150,000 for speaking 45 minutes. I don't know. You gave me a check for speaking today. I don't know. I will see it, how much it is. You guys know how to listen to important people. Even to the ordinary Joe like me, you know how to listen to. So it's not new. Qualified speakers come to your town. I'm talking about Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was here. You paid $500 for a ticket. I don't mean you personally, but Kitchenerites were lining up. There was no spot. I was online to buy one, but I didn't find a ticket. No, that's a lie. But I checked it out. People were paying. Why? Because this guy is a good speaker. This guy has a very good political, economical voice of the day. He can analyze the Middle East. He can analyze the North American view of philosophy of politics and economics. We are hungry to listen to because we are worried about everything, about tomorrow, about today. We are worried about our comforting seat. We don't want to lose it. You know what, guys? Among this noise, the writer of Hebrews says, there is someone greater to listen to. There is someone greater to obey to. There is someone greater to pay attention to. That is Jesus of Nazareth. That is Jesus of Nazareth. That's what he says. Yes, you know the resume of Bill Clinton. He is worth listening to. Do you want to know about the resume of my Lord Jesus Christ? Here is the list. That's how he listed it. The writer of Hebrew, he said, he is the Son of God. You know what the Son of God means? the Son of Almighty. He has a seat right beside God at the right hand. That is the first list of qualification for Jesus. Do you want to know the second one? He said he is the creator of the universe. Through him, God Almighty created the Eon, the universe, the angels, the spirits. That's the second qualification on Jesus' resume. Are you listening? That's what he says. Because you know, you don't hire unless you see the resume. I am an immigrant, so I applied to so many places. I said, do you have experience? How can I have experience without you hiring me and giving me the experience? Do you have it? Toyota? I have never seen Toyota. I grew up in the bush. No telephone, nothing, no road. What are you asking? You guys are the book. You know, you go by the book. You go by the qualifications. I'm going to list the best qualifications ever, and you guys going to listen to him. That's what the writer of Hebrews says anyways. So, hey, the third one, he said he is the radiant of the Almighty God. The glory of Almighty God. Oh, I don't think the Kitchener people would know the glory. You know what the glory of God is? The glory of God, you go theologically, study it, go to Exodus. When the glory of God comes upon mountains, no one, animals or human beings, no one was allowed to go there. Everyone would tremble. All mountains will dance before the glory of God. It is called Shekinah in Hebrew. When a Hebrew guy, a Jew guy, hears the word Shekinah, they go back and they can imagine the smoking mountains. That is the glory of God. Jesus is the exact radiant of that glory. Do you want to know your Lord? That's what the Lord is. And he is the exact representation of God's being, who God is. Do you want to know where God is? Do you want to listen to him? God is in Jesus. Our Father is in Jesus. Our Creator is in Jesus. That's what he's trying to say. He's all in all. This one is my favorite. On Jesus' resume, he says he holds everything. He holds up. My Greek word says he carries it up. He holds everything together. The planets, cock up is the Hebrew word for stars. The stars, the planets, the universe, the ocean, everything. He holds them together. He holds them together. The universe we see and the universe we don't see. The world we see and the world we don't see. We will see in the future. He holds it together. He holds up together. He carries it together. Probably Newton and Albert Einstein and other scientists said, oh, that's gravity. You know what? Scientifically, they name it gravity, but that's the power of God. For the book of Hebrews, for the writer of Hebrews, everything is held together by the power of the word of Jesus Christ. That's my favorite. Everyone is telling you that the church is boring. Everyone is telling you you are wasting your time. Even yourself. I like the song that we just sang. I feel wandering from my God. That I love. I always feel that. You know what? I want to be, you know, among the mix. There are many people that, you know, that clap for hockey, as I tell you, that clap for soccer or something. I want to be among the mix sometimes. wander away from this love of God. You know why? Because the voices that we hear, I hear around me are so strong sometimes. It storms my heart, and I want to forget about this God. You know what? That is not true. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. And I witness today, the true voice is the voice that is heard. And this small church, they call itself big church, but it's not a big church for me. This is a small church, but God speaks in this church. That is the truth, guys. That's why it's my favorite. He holds everything with the power of his word. His word, spoken word. What else do you want to know? On Jesus' resume, there is something else written. He said, he is greater than angels, chapter 1 says. And the next chapter says, he is greater than Moses. Shocking. He is greater than the high priestess that you have witnessed, Aaron and others. He is greater than every person ever lived. Every leader, every political leader, every spiritual leader, everybody who ever lived is less than Jesus, my Lord and your Lord. That is the resume of Jesus Christ. So Canadians, you are used to looking at the resume to hire your pastor. That's why I didn't apply, because I wouldn't beat Andrew. Jeremy. If I applied, his list would have been bigger than my list, wouldn't it be? Because you have the experience, man. I'm just joking. So, now you got it, didn't you? So you see this list. Is there any reason not to listen to him? Do you have any reason to disqualify this speaker? Do you? Here is how it goes. To our forefathers, to the people who lived before us, he's talking about his church, to the people who lived before us, to humankind, to the universe that existed before us, to the system, to the order, to the politics that lived before us, to Assyrians, to the Greeks, to the Babylonians, to all the greatest history, God has spoken in many ways, in various ways, through the prophets, angels, and other miraculous ways, dreams. He said, but to us, guys, to the believers of the New Testament, in these last days, to us, to the believers of Kitchener, to us, to the believers of Ethiopia, to us, God has spoken through his Son with the list of all those qualifications. That is what he is trying to say. If God has spoken to us through his Son, that means he has spoken through the greatest way of speaking. That's the point. Because he's greater than every speaker ever lived. So if you don't call yourself blessed today, if you don't call yourself privileged today to hear from the mouth of the greatest speaker, Jesus Christ, then we are in a miserable situation ever. That's what I'm trying to tell myself anyways. I am so privileged in every way possible. Because I got to listen to Jesus. The blessed years for me, the last 23 years. Before that, I didn't get to see even the Bible. But after, for the last 23 years, I am the most privileged person. I listen to Jesus every day. I am not worthy to do that. I am not worthy to his voice. But I know that. I know. Because he comes to those who need the medicine. He comes to those who need him the most. And I needed him the most. I need him the most every day. And he is every day here with me. The best place for me. The most glorious place for me, I can tell you, is the place where I kneel down. For me, the best place is that place. The joy I experience in my life, guys, I'm not lying, is not after I watch the funniest movie ever. It's not after I watch the soccer that I love, the English Premier League. The best joy that I experience is after I knelt down and talked to him. It's hard to talk to him kneeling down. Sometimes, you know, there is a warfare going on. But after I finished that hour of prayer and studying, oh, there is joy there. There's burning joy that you can never experience in anywhere in your life. Am I privileged? Yes, I am the most privileged person. That's why, in fact, the writer of Hebrew is not just talking from his mind. Do you remember the mountain of transfiguration? Do you remember the incident at the baptism of Jesus Christ? You want to be those people, don't you? After Jesus was baptized, as soon as he stepped out of the water of Jordan, what did happen? Heaven torn into two. I have never seen that. I don't know how it would happen, but everyone was listening. God spoke from heaven. He said, "You are my son. This is my son in whom I am pleased." Stopped. As the transfiguration, Jesus was changed into his glory. The apostles, Peter, James, and John, were kneeling down. They couldn't even see the glory of Jesus. They were trembling. A voice came from heaven. He said, "This is my son in whom I am pleased." Then the verse, the phrase that I am using today appears. What did it say? Listen to him. You want to please God? The best way of pleasing God is not sacrificing your time or anything else. It's not giving your money. The best way of pleasing God is listening to his son, Jesus Christ. Listen to him. So two things that I want to leave with you is one, the best way to listen to Jesus is reading his words, what he said. Okay? It is about time. It's a prime time that you take time in your devotion to study to read the Bible in the perspective of Jesus, in the view of Jesus, how Jesus would have read it. The Old Testament. And the New Testament, his words are there. Read him and try to see what he's saying. Yes, I know he's an odd speaker. He doesn't agree with the social. He's a radical man or radical God. You read it and try to understand him. I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit is there to interpret, to help you understand Jesus. That is the first thing that I want to give you today. That's, I think, what God has sent me today to you today, specifically to this church. Please take time and read the Bible from the perspective of Jesus. Read him and try to understand. When you don't understand, kneel down, please. These knees are to kneel down. Don't wait until every knee shall bow down. Don't wait up until that prophecy. That prophecy is for somebody else. We are already doing it. So kneel down and ask him to explain. The Holy Spirit is there, I guarantee you. Among the warfare, he will come and give you insight. And that is the most exciting moment ever. I'm telling you from experience. The second one is, don't just stop reading and understanding. Try to act. Try to listen to Jesus and act every day. This is how I play that. If Jesus wants you to help someone financially, if that is the moment, act on it without doubting. Go to your credit line if you want. if it is the moment. We have done it. My wife is a witness. But God will feel, but you know, but I'm not that the prosperity gospel guy. If it is the moment, you know it. Some people say, oh, I don't know how God is speaking. Oh, man, when he speaks, you know it. I guarantee you, you know it. If it is fuzzy, he hasn't spoken yet. Just wait for him. Okay? Some of the things are like common sense. Just being a Christian is good. Do it as a Christian. Every day I pray, Lord, help me to be a Christian wherever I go. And some people ask me, what do you do? I am a full-time preacher, but I have some hobbies. I call my hobby those jobs that I make money with. Now I'm hired 40 hours a week making parts for Hondas and Toyotas for one factory. Wow, what an excellent bless. Do you all day? I don't call that job. I call it hobby. My job is primarily what? To be a Christian, to be a witness of Jesus Christ. That's my job. I just told Jeremy when he asked me, oh, if you ask me about my hobby is doing working in a factory. My full-time job is talking to guys there and preaching to you guys. Oh, man, speaking to you guys and to myself, studying my Bible. I invest my time on my Bible. That is it. Practically, you can do it every minute, every day. So listen to Jesus through his books, his word, reading and studying and investing and devoting. That's one main point. The second main point is practice it. Because when you go out, any window, it's a joy. I have a friend, he said, Fanosi, I am so happy today. Why are you so happy? You know what? Last night I was driving. The Holy Spirit spoke to me to help someone stuttering and, you know, doing like this, blah, 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 blah. He was going to be hit by a van coming through. So he wanted to cross. He's so drunk, he can't cross the road. And he said, I went there, and I hugged him, held him, and I said, you know what? I will help you wherever you... He made him help in Kitchener. He helped him to cross the road. He helped him to open his apartment, and then went back to his car. He said, what did you feel? I still feel it. I did it last night. The joy is still in me. That guy is not converted Christian. He was still drunk when he left it. But he acted like Jesus would have acted. That was impaired. He may die. He may have been hit by a car and be dead. But this guy gave him life. You know what? He may be a Christian. He may believe in Jesus afterwards. That's what I mean. Listen to me. It's a joy, after all, to serve others. Okay? Now we understand, eh? Jesus is the best. He is the greatest. He is worth to listen to. Thank you guys for listening to me and to Jesus through me. I hope I communicated his word as he wanted me to do. Shall we pray just a little bit? We can stand up if you want. And I just want to pray a little bit. Almighty God, we are very, very thankful. Especially, I am very thankful, Lord. I am privileged to study this chapter and to enjoy it and try to communicate to these people of yours, these children of yours, so they can catch the fire of this chapter. I pray this morning, Lord, help your people, help me to understand you better and Lord, give you the most that we have to worship you in the way that we have never done before, to sing in the way that we have never sung before, Lord. Be with us and lead us every day, every minute. Help us to read and understand your words in your perspective. And help us to live that out every day, every minute. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May God bless you.